T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. All right, BT, we'll get back to the calls here in just a little bit at 877-337-6666. But we have not yet discussed Shohei Ohtani, who met the media yesterday. Although, to me, it really doesn't even count when you meet the media and don't take questions. Like, if you're trying to prove your innocence, I don't know about you. I go through this all the time, put myself in other people's shoes in these particular spots. I get that. The amount of media can be overwhelming. The questions are going to be tough, all that stuff. But if you really are innocent and have nothing to hide, why wouldn't you take questions? And the way that Ohtani and his team and this new interpreter, the way that they handle everything, I'm sorry, but I think he's full of crap. And I know I'm not alone. I also don't believe he bet on games.
Okay. What are you not buying?
That the guy, he's lying, saying he didn't know the money was missing from his account, that his buddy stole it from him. Get the hell out of here. I'm not buying it for one second. And what I will say to Shohei and his team and Major League Baseball, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. Mm-hmm. Ohtani may not have done, in fact, anything wrong here other than help his friend. And him trying to cover that up, lying about it, is eventually going to be proven. If it's proven true, and I think it will be eventually, that he is lying, mm-hmm. it's going to be way worse than it would have been had he just come out and said, you know what, I didn't know any better.
I agree if that's the case. I don't really feel that that's going to be the case, though. Really,
you think he was telling the truth?
I feel as if he's less involved today than I did before yesterday.
You think
Which
he
is odd because he didn't say that much.
You think he was a victim of theft?
I think that Shohei Ohtani, you know, maybe like a Tiger Woods type, like any other young prodigy, is so disconnected and detached from the reality of having to do things for themselves that they're so naive, especially in a new country, that you kind of lose control over basic things that we would never lose control over. I've sounded incredibly unbelievable to me when I'm like, this is no way. And I use the term common sense and street sense. I'm like, this guy's connected to it.
Well, one story was told.
On some level.
Then it was taken back immediately.
I know it was. It was very fishy. It made no sense here. But when you're a man of power, a woman of power and influence, you really, and it's going to seem hard for us to understand this because none of us have this power or this influence, but you are really absolved of doing the little things in life. People do them for you. So,
check your bank account to notice millions are missing?
It seems crazy to think that somebody could have access to that kind of money.
Well, that's the other point.
But in a new land, and you don't speak the language, and the cultural differences, I don't think it's as crazy to think that Ohtani was fleeced.
Ohtani was talking to this guy a week ago in the dugout in Seoul.
I know.
I don't understand that. If somebody stole money from you, you're going to be talking to him that day like your old chummy? He's clearly the fall guy.
Right, so you don't think that, let's go through the checklist here. Neither you or I think that he bet on baseball, correct?
Correct. Okay. I felt like
Did
that from the beginning.
Baseball. Me too.
I don't think he bet, period.
Okay, so
I don't think he's a gambler.
Okay, that was the next one. Did not bet on baseball. We're in lockstep. Did not bet at all. I did not believe that a few days ago. I tend to believe that now. That he didn't bet on anything.
I felt like that initially because remember I was saying last week, I feel like as a gambler, you either gamble or you don't.
Yeah.
You either know about it or you don't. And if you know about it, it's not going to be like, oh, yeah, well, I'll draw the line at baseball.
Well, I'm going to even disagree. I hear you on that, but I'm going to disagree a little bit. Like, you could be a criminal who might be, and not to marginalize, like, I'm not, as a weird example, but, you know, you might be morally okay with stealing somebody's pocketbook, you know, an older woman or from the street, but you're not going to kill anybody.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line of delineation. So even criminals are able to determine what is unacceptable to them.
Mm.
And I know it's not a perfect comparison. What I'm saying, though, if you're a drug addict, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stick a needle in your arm.
Yeah, but
you might snort heroin. You might snort coke.
But
there's a lot of drug addicts who never touch needles.
I feel like, especially to the extent that the amount of money and the amount of gambling that was going on, it's not just like, you know, you or I saying, you know what, yeah, all right, let me bet a couple $100 on this. But no, I'm not going to bet basketball because that's, you know, a little tricky.
Yeah.
But I'll bet what I like for a couple $100. He's betting, they're talking about millions of dollars, which whoever was betting, it was betting a lot of money.
Yep.
I think, and like you said, if you're desperate and you're chasing, you know, that you're looking for an edge. So anyway, that's why I thought that he was either all in or out. And I happen to think, based on the knowledge that I have from all the information that's out there, that Ohtani is not a gambler.
Me too.
Okay.
I think the same thing.
Different way to get there, but we're there.
Now we have to determine whether or not was the money stolen truly? Did he say, hey, I'm going to bail you out? I think there may have been a bailout. I got no problem with that. The problem is the feds might. Because when you bail somebody out for illegal activity, if you're the one in charge of the trade, and they've got to do the investigation now, and they've got his computers, and they'll seize everything, and they'll get an answer eventually to this digital imprint. But, like, if Ohtani knowingly transferred, there were two $500,000 wire transfers. If he did that knowing that his guy, his buddy's interpreter, was 500, you know, a million, 1.5 and beyond in the hole because he was betting with a guy who has an illegal book. There's wire fraud. It could be an international crime. And that's obviously out of my, you know, my strength, my wheelhouse, because I'm not a lawyer. But I can't absolve Ohtani of everything. But I do not. If there were crimes committed, I feel that they may, and maybe I'm the naive one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel that they were more of the innocent variety. I don't think that he was as in deep as I thought he was a couple days ago.
You're talking about Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Yeah.
The other guy, forget about him.
Well, I mean,
he's cooked.
Well, he's cooked. If he did everything that Ohtani said, he's going to be in jail for life.
He's cooked.
I mean, I don't know the exact rules, but look, I'm just not buying it. There's no way I'm buying. I don't care how much money you make. There's no way you're handing over access to your account. Your account.
I disagree. I think it happens in that world.
Maybe you have a separate account that other people.
Well, maybe he does.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not like, you know, the one thing that I think I would like to dispel, I'm not sure if I'm 100% right, but there's this thought, all right, so you're $4.5 million in the hole. You've got to just be betting every single game. But think about the way we bet, right?
Right.
Like when we bet, you might bet a couple of hundred. You feel you're up, you know, you're up a decent amount. Maybe you bet a little bit more. You bet a couple of hundred. But, you know, I'm not betting thousands. I'm not getting tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. It's never been my thing.
Right.
But I think some people are under the impression, because it's such a big hole, that there was just all they did was gamble incessantly. Give me this. WNBA, golf, tennis, cricket, whatever. Any sport, horse racing.
Well, for some, yeah.
No, oh, yeah, for some, sure. I think in this instance, because he had such access to exorbitant funds, I don't think it's so much, I can't prove this, it's just a theory of mine. It's less about the frequency in which he gambled and more about the massive risks that he took. Give me $600,000 on this.
Right.
Give me, you know, $350,000 on this parlay or whatever it might be. I think that that's a quicker way to rack up a $4.5 million hole than just betting smaller amounts and betting everything.
Mike is calling from Flatbush. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Thank you for taking my call.
How are you, Mike?
Mike, what's happening, buddy?
I'm doing great. If a couple of the germane questions are, what did Ohtani know and when did he know it? I have a question for you, BT. Have you ever been, you have a friend of yours that who was a big gambler? You ever been close to somebody who was a big gambler?
Absolutely.
And you know, and it's a tricky thing because you don't want to encourage like real degenerate behavior, but the stories are hysterical and out of this world. Like you can't even believe them. And you can't tell me that the two of them in America, Ohtani, that's his best, closest friend, at least until this happened, that he didn't know that he wasn't getting stories.
Mike, think about this. Mike, you're in Flatbush. That's where I grew up. All right, so we get it. We're cut from everybody in this city is from a different cloth. Now, but imagine being, so to us, it doesn't make sense. How could your buddy be doing this? You have no idea. I get why you'd say that. I was thinking the same thing, and on some level, I still do on some small level. But think about Ohtani, who's in a foreign land, who was shielded probably from the time he was nine as his baseball prodigy, where he was completely disconnected from societal norms. He had no room to grow. So I do think that he could be naive and not know the depths of what was happening. With him, I do.
You make a case, and that's what MLB, and I agree with Evan. I have no, absolutely no trust in MLB. But you do make that's good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Yeah. Look, to us, it makes no sense because we're from here. It doesn't work that way in New York.
To me, it's not about Major League Baseball, whether you trust them or not. It's about using your own sense and smarts to figure out what you think is going on. If Ohtani, why wouldn't he? Okay, if he's totally innocent and he had no idea this was going on, and he was a victim of theft, why wouldn't you take questions? What do you have to hide? Take questions. We only got a few for you, but just take them. And he doesn't want to do it. So the fact that Ohtani has to go through an interpreter, a different interpreter now, doesn't want to take questions, to me, is a red flag. Not to mention with all the other stuff that has gone on, also a red flag. I do not believe he bet. And that's giving him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't willing to go there.
I know.
I agree with you. But do I think that this guy, his best buddy, who he was chumming it up with in the dugout less than a week ago, was stealing from him blind and had access to his account of $4.5 million, and that this guy made up two different versions of the story of a story a week ago? ESPN talked to him. He gave a very, what I thought was believable story, then recanted the whole thing to what I thought was a non-believable story.
Me too.
And now I'm supposed to believe that Ohtani's saying, oh no, this is theft unlike you've ever seen before. My best friend all of a sudden turned on me. I can't even believe it. With access to my account. I was just talking with him in the clubhouse, in the dugout the other day. Wouldn't even believe it. Like, there's no way. I'm sorry. Ohtani, I believe, is only guilty, and now he's guilty of lying, which is even worse, but I believe was only guilty of trying to help his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
which I think all of us would do.
To me,
if you had
no
the funds, I would do the same thing. If I had that kind of money,
I
might do it differently.
Yeah,
I'd try to do it legally.
All right.
Okay. So the point about not answering questions, the optics are horrendous. It makes it look like you're hiding something. I agree. A couple of minutes, Sal said, and I also agree with this, if you're innocent, you know, try to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's being blamed, whether it's an assault of some type or a criminal activity. If you didn't do it, the common reaction is to stand at the top of the mountain and scscream, I'm innocent. I agree. Right. I've said the same thing a lot. I get that.
Yeah.
I really do. I get it emotionally. I get it intellectually. I get it on every level.
Not finger-pointing Rafael Palmeiro.
No,
I did not do it.
Like, that's with such Congress. I got you.
Yeah.
But now you've got to incorporate the real thing of lawyering up, okay? So you lawyer up, and they tell you not to answer anything. They're telling you that for a reason. And I'm going to, and again, I don't like the optics of it, but I'm going to flip it and say, let's say he did speak for even 15 minutes. And the first three questions are fairly benign. Easy for Ohtani. Wiggle off the hook. He's not going to implicate himself. It's easy lifting. Then the next question comes, and it is a zinger. And it's a stumper, and he says no comment. Now, what happens from there? Oh, hold on. The first three questions, Ohtani, he had no problem answering them, but now we ask him this, what are you hiding? It's almost like more stories and more fuel and more oxygen for this to live can present itself if you actually answer questions. You're going to look bad in the court of public opinion. You are. You're going to look weak, and you're going to look guilty, like you're hiding. I'm with you on that. I swear to God, I agree with you. But by not allowing it to go deeper beneath the surface, you're almost doing your client good. That's why you lawyer up.
Alex is calling from East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
How are you, Alex?
Hey, buddy.
Good, thanks. Hiya, Brandon. I don't believe, well, I don't know whether Ohtani bet or not, but that whole press conference smelled, and I don't believe that he knew nothing about it. And I want to, can I make a couple of quick points? I want to make people stop with this point that you're making, Brandon, and Tiki made yesterday. Oh, he could be sheltered. Oh, when you have this much money, you have this layer.
But it's true.
Of professionals who are handling your money for
it's
you.
True.
Where were these professional money people? Why weren't they alerting Ohtani as X amount of times this money was coming out of his accounts? That's what these people are supposed to do. Where were these professionals telling Ohtani, hey, alerting him a while back?
No, Alex, that's a good question. But what I'm saying is I think there's a chance that the interpreter was the one handling the funds.
The
so was he
going
to rattle himself?
He turned it over to one guy?
Doubt, possible.
I doubt very much.
Well, but that doesn't mean that you're right.
I doubt very much that his interpreter was handling it. Was his?
It's his best friend,
right? But still,
he's not a. Listen, when you're making that much money, yeah. You need professionals handling
financial advisors.
Agree with that.
Thank you, Alex.
No, but Alex, Alex, I do agree with that. Like, just because he's your best friend and an interpreter, you don't let him handle investments because he's not a
right.
professional financier. I got that. But what I think, and I think that this matters. When you move here from Japan and there is this massive cultural shift, just your day-to-day existence is hard, you're going to trust your best friend. I don't mean that, hey, let's take this $7.9 million and invest this. No, I don't mean that. That's a financial planner. What I'm talking about is just having access to do the easy things. Hey, pay for my car, pay for my rent, pay for whatever.
Right.
Like, that
right,
does
but,
exist.
But somebody somewhere should have authority to overlook or be overlooking his account.
They should, but that doesn't mean that they do. They should.
Oh,
that's
they're not
but that's his fault, I agree. But that doesn't mean that, like, there should be a checkpoint, but that doesn't mean that there was one.
I still have a hard time believing that Ohtani turn over the reins of his bank account and income
being naive
to his freaking interpreter or friend, like, I've got a lot of best friends that I would trust with my life.
Uh-huh.
However, I wouldn't give them all just access.
And neither would I. But also now let's flip this around.
Yeah.
Let's take you at a radio station in Japan. All right.
Yeah.
You don't know the language. Your transition is going to make it a lot easier. Let's say instead of you and I being coworkers, we were boys since we were 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We're best friends, right? And I'm not in the business, I'm not going to work with you, but I'm going over there to help you transition to a different culture. And I can hop on websites and
right,
I can
hey,
make transactions
for
you. Would you trust me? You probably would.
Yeah, but I don't know. But again, like, with what? Okay, yeah, take a couple of thousand out and go pay these bills or...
Yeah. But you're also raised in Long Island and you're from New York
yeah,
and you
well,
got a little
I'm too
street
smart
sense.
For that.
Well,
yeah,
that's
well.
That. But that's my point when I said to her, to my guy in Flappers, I think his name is Dave. He's called, if that's not your name, my bad. He's called quite a bit. I do know. I think it's Dave. But yeah, when you're from Flatbush or Manhattan or Staten Island or Queens or Long Island, certain parts of Long Island.
Yeah, right.
You just kind of understand what's going on. Ohtani is a sheltered prodigy. So it's unbelievable to us that he would leave himself so vulnerable. But it's really not when you actually think about the way he grew up.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I just have a hard time believing the whole thing. What a mess.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Right. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Ralphie is calling from Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
I've been a Jet fan for 60 years. I've seen it all. Now, I can't – yeah. I mean, listen, I can't put the entire onus on Zach because – they did absolutely nothing on the offensive line to keep him up. And this was no more indicative than when Rodgers got hurt. If you're putting all your chips in Rodgers, fine. Get whatever you can for Zach. And you know what? You better draft a quarterback coming up because, you know, Rodgers, he's like one hit away from retirement. So and at this point, I just want them to win the whole thing, not for me. So my grandson doesn't hate me for making him a Jet fan.
Too late for that, Ralphie. Thank you for the call.
We all have those battles on our hands if this doesn't change around fast.
Oh, that is great. Hey, what do you say, 60 years? I was like, yeah, about 50 too long.
60. Yeah, I know.
Jeez. All right, there you have it. Call of the day. Poor Jets fans, BT. I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
I feel bad for all of us in New York sports. We haven't seen enough winning. All these damn teams, too much losing.
Hey, listen, just get out of April with that rotation with the Mets, and we'll see.
You want to go there already? My first day back. You want to go there already?
Got that DH sound.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
By the way, I was so proud of how we executed that on Friday.
Yeah.
You know my favorite part?
What?
I'm listening down.
News?
No, I'm listening down the line.
Okay.
Like I had texted them the night before.
Explain to everybody what happened. I'm not sure. You know, I'm
so
not
I was out. I was out Friday, and the Mets obviously signed JD Martinez late Thursday night. And knowing that I was off, I was like, I can't let this slide. Like I got to figure out a way onto the show.
Yep.
So I texted Boyle and Dove like, hey, I'm going to come on tomorrow. Let's figure out the way to do it. I was texting Hoff a little bit. And then we came up with the idea to do it before you take the first call. And I knew that you would, you know, because we do the read, the same thing, the town fair tire every day. I was like, after he completes that and takes that pause to go the calls, hit that siren. I know you're going to be like, wait, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it surprised
then
me.
Then hit the King Cohen music and then boom. And that's exactly what happened. Now, my favorite part, though, so I'm sitting there doing it from home, listening to the open. And right out of the gate, you're like, look, I love my partner, but I'm glad he's not here today. Because we know he'd be talking about King Cohen and the trumpets and all that nonsense.
Yeah, the carpet.
So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad he's not here today. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there waiting. Oh, baby, I'm 5 minutes away from attacking you with those trumpets.
It was well played out. You know, it was well planned here. Although I do find it a little interesting that you guys threw that hearty of a celebration just merely by signing a 37-year-old DH.
Oh.
But I guess that's not really the point today. We don't want it to get in the way of a good story. You calling the show. Don't want a day off, Sal?
Well, truth be told, I really didn't want JD. Like, I wanted Jorge Soler was my
goal.
That's
right. I remember you saying
But
that.
What I really didn't want was the idea of the bottom three in that order.
Yep.
Beatty, Vientos, Bader.
Yep.
That is disgusting.
Gross.
And now you replace what I think the worst piece, because even for Beatty, you could make a case like he just needs an opportunity to see if he could be an everyday player. He's a top prospect,
I liked him.
Yeah, so Beatty's got at least a chance. I'm not ready to say he's washed. No, I don't think he's any good. I don't think he's going to be a major league third baseman. But you could at least make that case he gets an opportunity. Okay, fine, I can live with one of those guys. I can live with the defense first professional bat like Bader batting ninth. I can't live with all three. So you replace the weakest link, the worst part, with the guy who last year hit over 30 homers and drove in over 100 runs.
Yep.
That doesn't mean he's going to do it again.
He doesn't have to. His mere presence, correct, his discipline, his work ethic, his acumen. It's, you know, there's going to be some tangible upticks for sure because he's good, but he's going to have a nice impact on the young kids.
It makes their lineup one bat. It's the one bat we've been clamoring for.
Yeah.
It makes them a lot more legit. And you're right, like the King Cohen stuff was over the top. It turned out, initially when I thought it was $12.5 million for the year, that's where I'm thinking, wow, King Cohen, because you're thinking double that.
Yes.
For the luxury tax.
But you didn't know about the deferrals.
Not
yet.
Even close to that.
Yep.
$4.5 million is nothing.
I know.
How could you
know whose job? You know whose job he makes easier besides Pete? That's obvious. Take a guess. Whose job do you think J.D. Martinez makes easier?
Mendoza? You're talking about
Mendoza. Yeah.
That would have been my first thought, Mendoza.
Makes it pretty easier to transition with that kind of sage voice in there.
You heard that he, you're right, he should help out in that regard as well. You heard that he wanted the number 28 from Mendoza. Mendoza's like, yeah, you could have it. Just hit some homers.
Hear that part. Did he give it up or no? He gave it up.
So I guess Mendoza had 28, which I didn't even know. J.D. Martinez wanted it and said, what do I got to do to get that? He goes, just hit a lot of homers and it's yours.
Yeah, but so was he has to hit the home runs and then they've like changed midseason? What do you mean? That doesn't make any sense.
You
got to give it to him before the season.
Yeah, well, he did. I mean, he's going to.
So it's definitely done?
Well, Martinez now on the hook to deliver a lot of homers. He's got to do his side.
Wait, I
got to
look this up. So he's going to wear number 28. I didn't see that. Definitely to wear number 28 for the Mets?
I believe so. Yes.
All right.
That's correct.
Yes. All right. Mets who wore number 20. I am just curious.
Murphy was one that comes to mind.
I remember Danny Murphy, of course, with that. All right.
Bill Robinson had it in 1986,
first base coach?
Yeah. That would be my guess.
The best Mets to wear. All right. Murphy's one. I'm
trying to think of other 20.
Mets uniform numbers. All right. This is taking for. Okay. Here we go. I got a nice list for you here. 8-10. Just fast forward. 15, 20, 25, 28. Mm. We've got.
I'm glad Mendoza doesn't have it either.
Dead weight, of course. Amos Otis.
Don't remember.
He was with the Royals after that. He's pretty good. Wally Backman, I guess his first run? Well, I thought, I guess so.
He was number six, obviously.
I know he was, yeah. So Wally Ward from 19, when he got called up in 1980, then he got number six. Yeah. Bobby V.
Okay.
In 84. Bill Robinson, you nailed that.
Good.
Darren Reed. Wow. Tommy Herr.
Tommy Herr.
Yeah, from the Cardinals. Yeah. Dave LaRoche, the old pitcher.
Okay.
Let's see. That may have been the hitter. Dave LaRoche was.
Oh,
His dad was the. I think this was
no,
the hitter.
No, Adam LaRoche was the hitter, wasn't it?
Oh, that's true. Maybe it's somebody else. Bobby Jones.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget Bobby Jones, number 28?
Jeff Conine. Oh, my God.
Don't recall that.
Sandy Alomar.
Don't recall that either. Murph.
J.D. Davis.
Oh, God.
Yikes. Darren Ruff.
Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
He was 28?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, there you have it, J.D. Martinez.
Did they defumigate it?
A real DH. You know how refreshing that is?
You needed it.
Even if it doesn't work out, still.
Gives you a jolt of confidence going into the season.
Oh, my God.
It was a great move.
Lengthens out the lineup. Finally, a real freaking DH. All right, let's get back to the phones. Alex is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Alex?
What's up, guys?
How are you, Alex?
What's happening, man?
I'm doing good, man. I hear you guys talking a lot of Giants, a lot of Daniel Jones, a lot of Saquon Barkley. And I'm my opinion is, you got to build this defense first, right? This offense that, you know, we're not really equipped right now, it's not going to hold us down when we're down by 35. You know what I mean? Brian Burns, really great acquisition, but the secondary is looking atrocious. And before we look at quarterback, because we're not going to have a chance at the top three guys, we got to look at defensive back. We got to look to shore up that second level.
Well, you're not doing that at six. Opinion. Yeah, you're not doing that at six.
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate that. And by the way, if you missed any of the Giants stuff, just rewind on the Free Odyssey app. We did a lot of that first 2 hours of the show about Saquon, about ownership, Mara, the text with Saquon, that stuff. And, of course, it morphed into Daniel Jones. I mean, can you trade? I guess anything's possible. Can he bounce out of six and go to, like, 10 to 13 and get the best corner? Possible.
I'm not opposed to that. Giants need a quarterback. So that would be my first thought going in. Is there any way they could get the quarterback? Trade up or at number six? Okay, let's say that's not an option. Then I'm looking offensive line. I want the best offensive lineman available at number six. If that's not going to be the case, I am trading down. I would not go receiver unless it's a can't miss. You have to have him. But even then, to me, it's still building backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have a cornerback to the caller's point. I'm with him. I'd rather take a shutdown corner, assuming that there is one, then take a wide receiver there. There are valuable, you know, now that you get Burns and you have another edge rusher, there are valuable pieces that you need on a team that come to me far sooner than getting the wide receiver. And cornerback is one of those that I would value more so than a wide receiver. So I agree to a certain extent with the caller, but I'm that would not be my priority. Talking about getting a defensive player there at number six. I want a quarterback or offensive line.
That makes sense. I mean, think about the order of priority. Obviously, you need a quarterback. They don't have one yet for the future. Left tackle, check. Pass rush, check. Twice, check.
Mm-hmm. Right, they're building it the right way.
Quarterback, corner would make sense. Giants have options. So do the Jets. I think, you know, a couple of years ago when they had four of the top 10 picks, we were doing the show together at the
FanDuel setup
in the Meadowlands at the track. And there was so much juice because there were so many great players that were available. Giants and Jets own the top 10. It's different this time, but both teams could trade. They could trade up. They could trade back. they can get lucky and get absolute studs by staying at 6-10. Can't wait for the draft. It's coming.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, both the Jets and Giants. It's always a fun day, interesting, especially now with the teams where it's not starting from the bottom necessarily. We're kind of, you know, we're building. With the Jets, it's different because they're building for now.
Yeah.
And with the Giants, they're starting. They've already started the rebuild. The thing is, they need a quarterback. That's the big, even if they take a stud cornerback or a stud offensive lineman or a stud wide receiver, still need the quarterback at some point. BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll finish up here on the phones. I got to tell you, BT, I got an early screen. I don't know if you've seen this. SNY has been running this promotion or the commercial for Dwight Gooden documentary.
Now, I've seen some of the commercials, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of stuff on Doc and the 86 Mets, but obviously, you know, it's timely here with Doc having his number retired coming up on April 14th. And Joe Krause over at SNY, who maybe you know, I'm sure you've run.
I don't know Joe. Not that I know of.
He excels at these things. These documentaries that they do, they're very well done. And he sent me a link to watch this, which I did over the weekend.
How long is it?
I loved it. I think it's going to be an hour special.
Nice.
Right now, it's going to air on SNY after the Mets are going to play their opening day game. Well, whenever they play it. So let's say Thursday, they're supposed to play the opening day game, Mets post game. Then there'll be the doc.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have Baseball Night in New York on after that. But I sent you the link. I want you to watch it. Dude.
I love
First of all,
stuff.
You like we can't get enough of the doc. Even though you've seen them, you know, plenty of times of doc highlights, the story in this is great. It's a lot of insight for Doc, some of his former teammates giving thoughts on, you know, his rise and fall and what went on. So it's
Dude.
I watched it. I said it was done. Joe Krause did an incredible job. So make sure you check it out on SNY.
I can't wait to watch it. You know, there's just certain things. You know, you give me a Mattingly piece.
Yep.
You give me a Ewing piece. You give me something on Chris Mullin. You give me something on Macho Man. You give me something on Hulk. You give me something on Tiger and Phil. You give me something on Doc and Darryl. I'll watch 100 documentaries on these guys.
I'd like to see actually the YES Network do more things like this. I know they have the Yankeeography.
They don't pump those. Well, there's not many things to celebrate that haven't, you know, it's been a while.
Well,
they've been pumping them out every year for a while. I think the actually, let me check. But what is the last Yankeeography?
But those are even, but even those are just different. I don't know. I feel like these are done. Really, Joe Krause and SNY, they do a tremendous job of diving in deep. I know the Mets don't have the history that the Yankees do. But, man, some of these documentaries, I can't get enough of.
I love
this stuff.
It. And hopefully it's some new footage. Let's see. These aired, the first aired back in 2002. Then you had Yogi Catfish. Wow. Yogi Catfish and Roger Maris in 2003. Let's see. Yeah, I guess the last one was David Wells in 2013. I thought
that's
it was a while.
That's a long time ago.
Nothing's been happening.
Yeah, well,
at least
I mean,
up to Yankee standards, honestly, to make a Yankeeography. What's happened?
Couldn't do something on CC. Couldn't do something on some of the.
They'll do CC at some point,
or even like a different look. Like we saw the Jeter thing, but that was from ESPN. Like,
yeah.
How about an in-depth behind the scenes, even with some of the old guys? Like the '86 Mets have been done before plenty of times.
Yeah.
Doc and Darryl have been done. The 30 for 30. How about just even if it's similar footage, just you know, an insight to Donnie Baseball.
You could also chronicle Judge's 62 home run season.
There you go.
From a totally different lens, that would be good. I'm all in for it. It's just called Doc, right?
I believe so, yeah. It's a tremendous show, like I said. That's why everything's going to get screwed up with the schedule, potentially.
The possible rain out.
Is called Dr. K. Dr. K, which premieres, supposed to premiere after opening day.
The absolute best, and I said this to you during the break, we were talking about Doc. I've never seen a more, almost like ballet, a mixture of ballet and like explosive kinetic force, like Doc Gooden's windup.
His windup
was
perfection.
Gorgeous.
The way the ball comes out of his hand,
like a slingshot.
Firing the fastball.
Ugh.
Dude, pinpoint location.
His legs.
Breaking off the curve.
Sick, dude. Sick.
Oh, my God.
His deuce was crazy. He had a nasty
watching him come up. Like, I could relive those over and over. The All-Star game, the rookie season, 85, 86, all of it. You know, you get, again, more insight with Doc telling behind-the-scenes story about the parade, not making it. He says one of the stories, I'll give you a little tidbit here from the Doc that I didn't know before.
I know he was in his drug dealer's apartment until about 5 in the morning the
missed
night.
Missed the parade.
After the parade. You mean about, before the parade.
Because he struggled in the World Series.
He did.
He was warming up in the pen.
Okay.
With Marty Barrett up.
Okay.
And he said a part of him was rooting for Barrett to get on so he can selfishly have a moment Wow. And close it out.
I respect
instead,
that.
Yeah,
on
I
some
know.
Level, I do. I mean,
and he even said he used those words. He's
selfishly.
Like, it was selfishly.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted to feel a part of it.
Okay.
And felt like he let the team down because he wasn't good in the World Series and all that. But
interesting.
How about that?
Love
all
it.
All right, check that out on SNY Dr. K Special. BT and Sal on the fan. Let's finish up on the phones. Chris is in Flint, Michigan. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, this is for
BT,
Sal.
BT, how's it going?
What's up,
Sal,
Chris?
How you doing, Sal? All right, buddy. You've been kind of quiet today. I heard a few snippets of it. But let's hear the irrational hate for Dante 3 Vincenzo after
yeah.
last night.
It's not. I don't hate
it's not
him.
Hate. It's not hate.
I don't think he's as good as you think
okay,
he is.
So, okay, well, I'm happy you said that. Cause I just want to say a few things. If he was on this team when they were fully healthy, more than likely he'd still be number 7 off the bench.
Right.
But he could have had a chance to be 6th man of the year. I could even say his partner in prime, Mr. Hart, who got another triple-double on the year, could also fill that position of 6th man of the year.
It's remarkable. Also, it's remarkable, and thank you for the call, Chris. It is remarkable to me what the Knicks have been able to do without Randall and without Ananobi. Remarkable.
Yeah,
I thought they would sink. I thought they would sink, BT. Now, I'm not going to go nuts about the 10 three-pointers against the crappy Pistons, yeah. but DeVincenzo. 11 three-pointers against the crappy Pistons. Thank you, boy, for clearing that up. The Pistons stink, but that doesn't matter. DiVincenzo has been very good. He's needed to elevate his game. I still think there are many inconsistencies to his game. I think against better teams in the postseason where they're actually playing defense, he's going to have a harder time scoring. Mm-hmm. But for now, both he and Josh Hart have kept this team. Obviously, Brunson, but those two, in addition to Brunson doing what he does, have kept this team afloat and atop the standings in the East.
And don't leave out Precious Achiuwa, who's doing a lot more than I thought he was going to do. He's a big rebounder. He's scoring a little bit, hitting some threes. Now, last night to me, and the record aside, which was insane, I mean, Dante DiVincenzo's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been taking a ton of shots out of necessity. He's shooting exactly 40% from behind the arc, which is amazing, given the amount of looks that he's taken. And really, he's getting more attention than he used to. Like, if Randall was there and OG was there, and he was just the beneficiary of some open looks. Not that you wouldn't appreciate it. Every good team has that. But he's doing this, and opposing teams know, geez, all right, at least with these other guys out, Dante DiVincenzo is a big piece of the puzzle in terms of us stopping the Knicks. He's really their second option behind Jalen Brunson at this point. And what I love, though, and I tweeted this last night. Dude, the Knicks were 17.5-point favorites. They were supposed to mop the floor with the Pistons, which they did. What I love about the game last night is, from my perspective, I turned it on. I was actually about 6. I forgot the DVR. I turned it on. It was like 25-10, whatever it was. They were up big, but I stepped in midway through the first quarter or late first quarter, and I was saying to myself before I put it on, just snatch their soul. Like, don't let a bad team come in here and think that they can mess around and steal one. And even without their stars outside of Brunson, they are so well coached and so focused and so attentive to detail that they just, they don't give bad teams a chance to mess around and steal one.
Give me the team in the East or even in the league, period, that could lose their second and third best player and still do what the Knicks have done.
There's nobody. And we had this conversation. If you really interpret what the award is supposed to mean literally, he's not going to win the MVP. I know that. And he's not even going to finish top three in all probability. But if you really look at what the MVP should mean and transfer that and apply it to this Knicks season, he's the MVP.
No, but you could say that about Joel Embiid because the fact that he went down and you see the team sinking.
So you're not going to give an MVP to somebody who's not playing.
Obviously. And we know that would be the case with Brunson as well. But more to the point of, man, Tibbs, the role players, mm-hmm. the passion, the toughness of what they play with each night.
Every night.
Night in, night out. They're consistent. They're right there. I thought for sure at some point it'd catch up with them, Ananobi and Randall being out. It has not. They deserve a ton of credit. Now, they got to get those guys back if they want to be taken seriously and get to an Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
That's the problem. Joe is calling from Hempstead. What's up, Joe? Hey, Joe.
Joe, what's happening, bud?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Okay,
listen,
buddy.
I wanted to go back to the Jets again.
Mm-hmm.
BC and Sal. Big fan. First-time caller.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you guys are great. You guys are great too.
Thanks,
so anyway, BT has a little bit more financial wherewithal, I think, than you do, Sal. When you make a bad trade, I used to be a trader on Wall Street. So when you make a bond trader, when you make a bad trade, you need to cut ties quick, because it actually helps your mindset to go forward and do something else. If you're holding on to Zach Wilson in the hopes of it's going to go back up, it'll go back up. No, as soon as it starts to go down, you sell it. You take your hits. You take your
loss. Yeah, but Joe, I'll give you an example. You said you used to trade. So if you bought Bitcoin at 60 2 years ago, whatever it was, and you sold it when it started to sink like a rock at 20 not too long ago, and now it's back up over 60 than it was whatever it was 2 years ago, then what?
Okay. Well, so then you can buy back in.
Yeah. Oh, no, you lose, and thank you for the call. You lose. You lose. You buy at 60, you sell at 20, you lose. You don't buy back in at 70 again. So the point is, and I'm not saying, by the way, I would not keep Zach Wilson because I believe his stock's going to go up.
Okay.
I'm just not giving away at the bottom dollar. I'm not giving away at the basement here. His value was high. It is now sunk into a point where he can't get any lower.
Here's where it can get lower. It poisons the room.
Well, that makes the team worse.
Well, that's all I care about.
Yeah, well, I get that. And that's why I'm saying I understand if you're saying you want to cleanse yourself up.
100%.
But I also understand what Woody is saying. Like, it just doesn't make sense to give him up for nothing.
Woody's just talking. Woody's just
they're not
going to
cut
just
him.
Yapping.
They should trade something. Look, by the way.
Do you actually think he's in the Jets uniform as the third quarterback, holding a clipboard, wearing a baseball cap on week one?
I don't think it would be the worst thing the Jets could do. Let me tell you, even if you got a seventh-round pick, you're still selling him.
I know. I understand
like,
that.
Like, either way, there's going to be a significant loss here. All I'm saying is when I first read those comments, I took it as, you know what? It actually does make some sense. Just because everybody is saying get rid of that asset who couldn't make it here doesn't really mean you should just give up on something with some potential to bounce back. I know it's not going to be here.
I know.
But at some point, somebody may come calling for him, and maybe you get a little bit more than you would right now.
That's why you hang on to him through OTAs, and or maybe say, hey, listen, you're on the team. They'll need to come to the facility. You know, you just kind of lay out, and somebody goes down, and we can find a trading partner, we'll do it. But, see, there's the literal value of Zach Wilson, which at this point is none. And then there's the, like, that almost the residue of the karma, which goes to the theory of when you have a dead stock, you just gotta stop looking at it because it's twisting your mind and it's forcing you to almost think a different way. And I hate to make Zach like he's a piece of poison, and because they ruined him more than he ruined them. But you can't get rid of, well, I mean, you could have, they elected not to, an entire coaching staff. Yeah, you know, they didn't do that. So you got to get rid of a kid who represents failure, whether it's all his fault or not. And it's not all his fault. But all he represents is inconsistencies and failure.
Steve is calling from Fairpoint, New York. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Love you both. I know we're up against it, so I'll try to be quick. Ohtani, walk me through this. Seems to be two scenarios. One is this asshat interpreter was gambling for a long time and built up $4.5 million in debt.
Yeah.
How long would you have to do that to get $4.5 million in debt?
Depends how much you bet. I mean, think about this. And I talked about this a couple hours ago, Steve. You guys could go check this out and just hit the rewind on the Free Odyssey app, so I don't have to really restate everything now.
Yeah.
But my brief encapsulation was, yeah. I mean, to us, betting 100, 150, parlays, reverses, couple of hundred. If you're winning, maybe 1,000, whatever, you let it ride, you let it roll it over. But if you have that kind of access to that kind of money, you might be betting $400,000 a game.
Right.
Understood. And that's one side of the coin. The other is that he built up so much debt that Ohtani had to transfer two transfers to cover his $4.5 million. Two questions there. When Ohtani does it, why doesn't he turn the guy in? And number two, and more importantly, is who the hell would give this guy the kind of line of credit to go $4.5 million?
No, Stevie, that's the easiest question. Thanks for the call. We are up again. That's easy. If you are an illegal bookie, you just keep stringing them along. Oh, I got you, man. Yo, Lonnie, sure, I got you. Oh, you're Ohtani's boy? Sure, you're good, dude.
Whoa.
You just pull him in like a fish out of the ocean. Until you say, gotcha.
How would he know that he's Ohtani's boy?
They know. He knew.
You see, that's why I think it's fishy. If you're a smart bookie, you're not going to let somebody who can't pay get to that level.
Like us, unless you know that the guy that you have on the hook and pressed against the wall, there's boys with Ohtani who's making $70 million
right,
a year
but
in endorsement
money. If I say, oh, I'm boys with so-and-so who's got a lot of
you
money.
You got to have the evidence. You can't just strike. I don't think he just took him and just, oh,
which
you're
makes me think
boy.
That
you know.
There was some evidence that Ohtani would cover him if he got in trouble.
You're still, it's an interesting story.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.